You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number three here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Greg Sussman, Scott Engel, Tony Cincotta, and Corey Parson here with you going up to 10 a.m. Eastern Time with Fantasy Best Friends Forever. Come your way. We have Jake Seeley's chat this morning over at rotoexperts.com. It's the exclusive Edge chat, which you only get if you subscribe to our exclusive Edge package. And to do so, you might as well get a few bucks off. When you check out, enter free radio, and we'll give you a couple dollars off, and you get access to all these chats, including Jake Seeley's today, George Kurtz's tomorrow, Scott Engel's tomorrow, George Kurtz's later on this week on Thursday, I believe. And there you go. Roto Experts chats all week long. Before we went to the break, Tony asked about, making a joke about Dorial Greenback and smoking weed and all that stuff. And it came out last week about players saying, listen, we 60% of us or 80%, I don't remember the exact number, smoke weed because we don't need to take all these pain medications. It would just make us feel better and it would cure the pain. As you mentioned, Tony, a medical marijuana bill is on the ballot tomorrow for election day. So, Corey, you have some information on this, so I want to give the floor over to you.
All of them. I don't want to say all of them.
You just said all of them.
A good majority of professional athletes or recreational joke users. I have absolutely no doubt about it. You know what I mean? I've seen them in action.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Kind of being on the scene. We saw Ezekiel Elliott in the dispensary earlier. He wasn't going there to look around.
No, yeah, all right. Yeah. He, we get a tour.
This is a tire shop. He was going there to buy weed. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's what he was going there to do. He was in there to buy marijuana. So you got that situation. So I think it's the pain killing. It is also the recreational joke users to help them relax. Look at the situation with I hate to say it, knock on wood, it's unfortunate.
Josh Gordon?
What's the young man's name? Just passed away, the very good pitcher in Miami.
Jose Fernandez.
Didn't he have cocaine in the system?
He did.
Yeah.
So you got a situation where these athletes are using drugs. And my thing is, when it comes to the NFL and the nature of the game and the violence in the game, like you said, a lot of players say they use it for pain relief and pain tolerance. I think that it should not be a situation where marijuana should be illegal in the NFL.
And I was, to your story, you know, I was talking to somebody who was with a player before a recent Super Bowl and said, yeah, I was with him and he was smoking weed the other night. And to the points you make, it's a very violent game. Mm-hmm. And not only can it help with the pain, but it's also a very intense game emotionally, so you need to relax.
Yeah, and it could also help with focus. I was with a athlete, and he was like, sometime, you know, I would put the joint out in the parking lot. And I'd be like, well, you know what? I'm just going to be 0-4 today. Just like that. Just that plain and simple. And he's like, and told me about the locker room. And he was like, everybody in the locker room is using. And this was a player in the major leagues.
Based on that, though, do you think the United States soldiers should be smoking weed?
That's an interesting call right there.
A stressful job, and they're in combat.
They were doing lots of drugs in Vietnam, right?
Yeah,
they were.
It's true. I mean,
fantasy.
Go ahead, Tom.
What about fantasy analysts? Do you think, what are the percentage of fantasy analysts on drugs?
I'd say quite a few in this room.
I mean, I've been to Top Wars.
I don't feel the need for it, though. I mean, there's no violence in this industry.
Well, it has nothing to do with violence. It's just about getting high.
Yeah. I've been to Top Wars. I've been
to FSCA. The way Sussman is talking and the fact that he's a 1%er, I think he gets the best stuff for any of us.
Well, you don't have to drug test me right now. So.
Yeah.
Scott, never rob a bank with Scott.
Never rob a bank with Scott? Why is that?
No, I think he would turn you in.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Tony would talk it. Scott. Tony would talk about it to everybody, but not make it public.
No, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Off the record for the 90th time.
You know, there's yes, Corey.
Have you guys seen that video of Game 7 of the World Series with Savannah James, LeBron's wife? Hitting that joint right there in the stadium?
No.
Yeah, right there.
That's hilarious.
Now, obviously, you know, I don't think LeBron James, that kind of world-class athlete, I don't think he's a drug user, you know what I mean? I seriously doubt it.
Are you kidding me?
It's in his house.
Wait. You don't think LeBron smokes weed?
I don't think LeBron James. No,
what about get the hell out of here.
LeBron once James a is a world class athlete. I don't think he would.
Yeah, but
his
you
body.
Said 60-80% of the NFL. Those are all world class athletes.
No. The NBA has the best athletes on the face of the earth. LeBron James, you know.
So you're saying guys in the NBA don't do it then?
I don't think LeBron James does it. I think LeBron James is too locked in and too focused to do it.
I think you're out of your mind.
Really?
Yes.
Tony, what do you think?
I think John Lennon did it. I think LeBron could.
Agreed.
Wow, there's a good comparison.
What about you, Florio? What do you think?
He does hang out with J.R. Smith a lot.
Oh, yeah. And J.R. Smith, and you know J.R. Smith get high.
He admits. He's admitted it. Yeah. Yeah. So
we should pass all these marijuana things. If the finest athletes are okay and they're able to function at the highest levels, and we need to pass these laws, then I think we need to regulate, we need to control it, and we need to get the U.S. soldiers some marijuana because they have a tough day too.
Yeah, I think
it's not helping Dorial Green Beckham.
No, it's not.
I think they have plenty of marijuana. The U.S. soldiers. I don't think that's an issue.
I think it needs to be decriminalized marijuana altogether.
Well, you should go down to Florida and vote with Tony. Medical marijuana.
I would love to vote in Florida.
So would I.
You'd screw it up.
No, I don't. Corey would not screw it up.
No, the Florida would screw it up.
Well, let's hope not. Speaking of a place where you can buy weed, the LA Rams lost to Carolina yesterday, 13-10. Chants around the LA Coliseum yesterday. We want Goff and Tebow. It's not a joke. They were chanting for Tim Tebow yesterday around LA as Case Keenum leads them to yet another loss. This team is now 3-5, and yet Jeff Fisher, the award-winning coach, says as of now no plans to change their starter. It's not Case Keenum's fault. And yet in the press conference after the game, Jeff Fisher said, listen, our defense allowed one touchdown pass to Cam Newton, one touchdown pass to Eli Manning, and we lost both games.
Yep.
It's not acceptable. And I'm sorry, Jeff, but that falls on your quarterback.
Yeah, fantasy-wise, Lance Kendricks ended up being the good stream.
Nice job by you, Corey.
Seven catches for 90
yards.
But
he dropped a pass in the end zone, Lance Kendricks.
Yes, he did.
Right?
He still had 16 points, though. 16 points, I'll take it.
I'm saying from a perspective of being Case Keenum and this falling on the quarterback, that touchdown all of a sudden puts together a nice day. And actually ended up with a decent fantasy day. But the bottom line is, at the end of the day, they picked the guy with the first pick in the draft.
Yeah.
They're going to have to play this guy.
Yeah, and Todd Gurley's getting hurt by 12 carries for 48 yards. Well, he did get 4 catches for 26 yards, but when you see Benny Cunningham catch 5 balls, you know, it drives you crazy.
Case Keenum threw the football yesterday 46 times. Todd Gurley touched the football 16. That's disgraceful.
Disgraceful.
Somebody should be fired.
And it wasn't.
They all should be fired.
It was a 7-0 game.
Exactly.
For 3 quarters.
Exactly. Tony, weren't getting blown out. The final score was 13-10. What the hell are they doing?
Yeah. In the third quarter, it was 7-0.
This team has lost 3 straight. Remember after they were 3-1, people were talking about being surprising contenders.
Let me ask you guys this. With Todd Gurley, as you mentioned, barely touched the football. Clearly not involved enough in this offense because the coaching staff are just idiots. Rest of the way, would you rather own Todd Gurley or his opponent yesterday, Jonathan Stewart?
Oh, boy.
I'll
take Gurley.
Wow, is that bad?
I think it's that bad. You could take Gurley. That's fine. Jay Stewart only had 42 yards rushing yesterday. He didn't catch a pass in the passing game. It's Corey. Would you rather have Todd Gurley or Jonathan Stewart?
I would give Todd Gurley a slight edge because he's catching the football more, and Jonathan Stewart's not going to catch the football.
Tony?
I own Jonathan Stewart, but I would go with Todd Gurley in this one. Stewart, very touchdown dependent, doesn't get a lot of throws. Gurley was catching balls. It was disheartening to see the Benny Cunningham situation.
Yeah, then you always got the durability thing with Stewart, too.
Okay, would you go to a guy that you guys both love, Corey and Tony, Todd Gurley or Isaiah Crowell? Corey?
I still think that, wow, this is a close call, right?
See?
It's crazy that this is a close call. Yeah. I still like the talent on Gurley more than I like these are both bad teams, though. I think Hugh Jackson's going to commit to the run, to running the football more than Jeff Fisher will. I'd go Isaiah Crowell.
Crowell right now is at 13.47 a game in PPR leagues, and Gurley at 13.19, so that's how close they are right now. If Jared Goff goes, I think the offense takes a step back. I'd go Crowell.
Scott, want to chime in here?
I still gotta go Gurley. I feel like he's always more going to be consistently involved.
Would you rather have Todd Gurley, Scotty, or PPR Giovanni Bernard?
I don't know what I get from Bernard on a week-to-week basis.
It's pretty good.
Maybe a little bit more of a ceiling, but I feel like there'll be more of a floor with Gurley.
Corey?
I don't like the inconsistency of the PPR backs, of the solely PPR backs.
Okay. Yeah,
so I would go Gurley, but go ahead.
Well,
the other guy in that backfield, Hill,
yeah.
I would take him over Gurley.
You take Jeremy Hill over Gurley. Mm-hmm. Tony?
I would take Gurley. Actually, as good as Bernard is perceived to play and as bad as Gurley is perceived to play,
yep.
Gurley's already better than Bernard at this point in the season.
I got a good comparison for you guys,
yes, sir.
And I'll throw it out to you.
Kay.
Todd Gurley or Frank Gore?
That's exactly what I was going to say next. Literally, word for word. Frank Gore, and this is the last one I want to do because I feel strongly about this one. Corey.
Frank Gore.
Tony.
Yeah, Frank Gore.
And you,
Frank Gore.
Frank Gore, I don't think it's close.
Two touchdowns last night.
It's not close.
He's 33 years old. What happened with the 30-year-old running back theory?
Oh, you know, my God.
The problem with Gore is he's consistent. Like, he never has a big game. Yep. Like, the most points he's had this year is 21.
Was it yesterday?
And the lowest.
Yes.
The lowest was 9. But generally, he's right at 15 every week. He's only averaging 15.36, and Gurley's at 3.08. So they're relatively close. But you never have a bad week with Gore where we see Gurley have an 8, a 5,
yep.
An 11, and he's had one game of 21.
There's something to be said for all that consistency with a guy like Frank Gore. And then if you get a night like last night, you get nice bonus points. And then also the game against Tennessee in week 7, you know, with him getting the end zone again, and, you know, he hit 19 points. You know, the guy's got 53 points in the last 3 games.
It's that
he's only scored in single digits once.
It's come to that here with Todd Gurley and Frank Gore. Now, Tony, you mentioned Jared Goff does start for this team, that the offense takes a step back. What is that going to do then for Kenny Britt and Brian Quick, both who have been kind of consistent? Now, Britt scored a touchdown with about 30 seconds left in the game, finished with a good line, as he has tended to do, 4 for 49 and that touchdown. Quick, 4 for 48. Now, Tavon Austin did nothing here because he sucks, 1 for 17. What would Jared Goff do to the value of Brian Quick and Kenny Britt?
That's a great question, because I think they're going to be inconsistent. I mean, if you look at this offense, there's no rhyme or reason to the coaching staff here. They threw the ball 46 times yesterday when they had no reason to throw it that much. I have no idea what's going to go on with this team. Jeff Fisher is a guy that is all over the place from a coaching staff. I would think that they see more of Todd Gurley and Benny Cunningham, and they try to keep the ball short. I think Lance Kendricks would fall in play. Mm-hmm. I get a little worried about Kenny Britt and Tavon Austin in this one.
Yep, I agree with Tony spot on that one. I mean, this is going to happen at some point in time. I think that Goff is going to step in and take over. Obviously, he has to, because what they're doing right now is not working. And another question I would pose to you guys, if you're 5-4, 4-5, you're a Todd Gurley owner, is it time to put him on your bench?
Depends on what your other options are.
Of
really.
Course, depends on your options.
Yeah.
I mean, he's give not. Give me a comparison. I'm glad to entertain.
I don't think he's. Yeah. I don't think he's a. What I'm saying is, I don't think he's a must start anymore for the rest of the way.
No, he's not.
He's not.
Interesting though. We always talk about who does a guy like to throw to if he gets in there. I watched in the preseason. Jared Goff likes throwing to Tyler Higbee.
No, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think, and we've always said with rookie tight end, with rookie quarterbacks and backup quarterbacks, you do lean on your tight end. So whether that's Lance Kendricks or
not
Tyler,
not always, because Carson Wentz didn't do it until yesterday.
Nothing in fantasy is absolute.
Yeah, but there are situations where it does apply.
Thank you.
Well, that guy, what's that boring guy on ESPN?
Which one?
Was Clay? He was I had known him in the past, and he had did a study on that specific thing.
Yes.
About the tight end situation.
Yes.
And the rookie quarterback.
Yes.
That is an urban legend.
Okay, thank you for calling me out.
I think it depends on who the quarterback is.
You know, and as bad as you
I
think
didn't call
Todd
you out
Gurley,
Clay,
yeah, as bad as you think Todd Gurley is, he's still as bad as he is. He's 26th at running back. So if you play in a 12-team league, he's almost
RB 2.
You know what? He is startable every week.
Yeah, he's had double figures in all but one game.
On the other side of this game for Carolina, Newton put up 225 and 1. He got destroyed by Mark Barron at one point. Destroyed
Alex Barron,
by Mark Barron. His name is Mark.
Yeah.
Aaron Donald also crushed him twice.
Yeah.
And no penalties, again, called against Cam Newton here, or for Cam Newton, I should say. Newton worked the ball to who we expected. I think this offense is much what we expect here, with Kelvin Benjamin and Greg Olsen leading the way. Benjamin, 5 for 76. Olsen, 5 for 52. Both guys had 7 targets. Ted Ginn in this one also had 7 mm-hmm. targets. But this offense, Tony, this is what we expect out of it, right? Cam Newton getting the ball to Benjamin and Olsen, yep. running the ball with Jonathan Stewart, running it a little bit himself. He took the ball 7 times. He didn't score a touchdown on the ground, threw one. But this offense is pretty much what we expect, right, Tony?
I thought it would be better, but the problem is because the Rams' secondary is not great. The defensive line is good. The linebackers are good. I thought they'd have a tough time running. But the pressure they got on Newton yesterday was amazing.
Yeah.
And I really was surprised by this. I thought he would have a better day statistically from a passing perspective.
I agree with that. But, Scott, even though the numbers weren't there, the people that were involved, I mean, it's very straightforward, I think, in Carolina. Who's going to be involved week in, week out, and who we could trust every week?
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is.
You can't trust Ginn Jr., though.
No.
And as far as the hits on Cam, that one hit yesterday, if that was Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Andrew Luck, that'd have been a flag.
Why don't you think it was a flag yesterday?
Because of Cam Newton's size.
Because of Cam Newton's size. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's bigger than Aaron Donald.
Exactly. The referees have never seen a guy like this in the NFL.
Sure.
That
we haven't either. Yeah.
You know, and I think it's new for them to hit. Well, you know, Randall Cunningham was big and mobile, but he didn't take hits like
no,
that.
No.
He's not this big.
Cam Newton, Cam Newton can be a linebacker.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Legitimately. No, seriously. Yeah. And I think that's kind of an issue with him, as Mark Barron clearly did lead with the helmet. I mean, he came flying right up the middle. And at first glance, I thought it was his shoulder that hit him, and it just wasn't. I mean,
Cam does put himself in the midst of contact very often, but there's time when I think the referees let it go a little too much.
What do you think, Tone?
I think size matters.
There you go.
That's what I've been told.
I guess we shouldn't have let Tony chime in there. that kind of play with Cam Newton is going to continue. He's going to be roughed up. They're getting to the quarterback. The offensive line not nearly as good as it was last year. Certainly this defense not nearly as good as it was last year. And this is kind of the deal with Cam Newton week in and week out. When we come back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, we look to tonight. Seattle at home against Buffalo. Will Russell Wilson be healthy? And will Seattle pick up a victory? We preview Monday Night Football coming up next. Back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy BFFs, the best friends forever, are next. It will be Jake Seeley and Corey Parson with you at 10 a.m. Eastern time. You can hear Jake and Corey without Nando today. God bless you, Scotty.
Yes.
God bless you. You say thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm
like
that now.
Well, you said yes. I said bless you.
I gave
you yes.
a second to recover there. I appreciate it.
I just wanted to give you a bless you, man. Yeah. I want you to be blessed, of course. Yeah. Hey.
Thank you.
Will you be blessed tonight, though, as your Seattle Seahawks at home Monday Night Football against the Buffalo Bills? And perhaps the most common question that at least I've received on Twitter, and maybe you guys have it too, and you can certainly tweet at us whenever you want, at FNTSY Radio, at Scott E. Roto X, at the Tony Cincotta, at the Fantasy Zach, has been about LeSean McCoy. And what to do with LeSean McCoy. And the tea leaves have said all week long he's going to wind up playing on Monday night. Now, how long will he be in there for? I don't know. How effective will he be? I don't know. When people are wondering, do they start McCoy, it's mostly been about health. Like, if he's healthy, it's LeSean McCoy. We got to start him. But you are facing the Seattle Seahawks defense in Seattle. Tough spot. We've gotten a question literally on Twitter. We've all gotten one right now. Hey, I have Christine Michael and LeSean McCoy tonight. I can only start one touchdown-only league. Which way are you leaning?
I'm leaning Michael, but when you're in doubt, you always go with the healthy player. When we had Dr. A on from InsideInjuries.com yesterday, he made some really good points about how Rex Ryan is known as a coach who, when his players aren't even 100%, kind of pushes them out there. And then there's also the fact that I've talked about and that he echoed yesterday that, you know, because of this injury, he's not the cutback runner that he classically is.
Right.
I love watching LeSean McCoy when he's healthy.
Right.
Because he's the best cutback runner in the National Football League. But if you can't cut back against a defense with Bobby Wagner, middle linebacker, you're not going to produce much.
Corey, I know you've been inundated with questions regarding LeSean McCoy as well.
Mm.
And do you think he makes it through this game healthy?
Yeah, I think I can't predict that. I'll be honest with you. I can't predict that. But I do. All right, put it like this. Situation I have. I got two situations that I had this weekend involving LeSean McCoy.
Okay.
I had a decision to make between Matt Asiata and LeSean McCoy. I have LeSean McCoy in my lineup with CJ Procise sitting on the bench.
Just in case.
Just in case.
Okay.
Now, let me move along right here to this other team, kind of give you a look inside the fantasy executive mind state and how I'm rolling. I have another team from this past week where I actually if I'm not mistaken, I actually sat LeSean McCoy. I played Devontae Booker and Derrick Henry. I got 4 points between the two of them. So now, with that being said, I left Shady on the bench in that aspect, which probably is going to end up being a mistake because he probably would outscore both those guys. So if I had to say what Shady does tonight, I say he toasts the rock 15 times, probably 55 yards, and give him a touchdown.
That's pretty good, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty good game. It's a pretty good game. Tony, do you trust LeSean McCoy tonight?
No, I would have tried to avoid this situation.
Okay.
I would have tried to set up either with one of the backups like CJ Procise that someone mentioned or Mike Gillisley or played someone before the weekend. I would have not have got into that situation.
All right. I think it's a tough spot for McCoy, and it's obviously, quite obviously I should say, a tough spot for the Buffalo Bills in general. Tyrod Taylor has been hot. He's scored rushing touchdown in a couple of games in a row. And we would love him from a fantasy perspective in general, not tonight, if he had somebody to throw to. But Robert Woods has been banged up. This team does not have a number one wide receiver. However, Scott, you know what tonight is, right, Corey?
Monday?
No. Well, yes.
Monday.
But
it's Monday.
It's also a... It's a revenge game tonight.
Oh, the revenge game. Percy Harvin.
Percy Harvin's back, baby!
It's going to be interesting to see because they hated him in Seattle.
Hated him.
Wasn't he having sex with Russell Wilson's wife or something like that?
What?
I think that's why they didn't like him. Is that what the case was, Scott? I mean, when Russell Wilson's ex-wife.
Before Sierra.
Before Sierra, yeah.
It was more than just like he not gotten along in the locker room because I heard rumors that he was saying certain things about Russell and other teammates and stuff like that.
Like what were you hearing?
I'm hitting his wife.
Racial kind of things.
About Percy Harvin's black.
What?
Maybe he felt Russell Wilson wasn't black enough. Is that it?
That
was it. Scott didn't want to say that, but that's what he said.
Percy Harvin, he's a clown for that, Percy Harvin.
He actually got into fist fights with Doug Baldwin and Golden Tate. Golden Tate the day before the Super Bowl. This isn't a revenge game, though. Percy Harvin's coming off the street after 8 weeks. This is no revenge game.
How is that? I hate the definition of these revenge games. It's very tough to figure out.
I defined it for you 49 times in 1 week. I don't know how you don't get it. It's not. Okay, let me redefine it. It's not a fantasy revenge game.
It's not. You saying it's not relevant for fantasy purposes?
Right, exactly.
But I find it.
Interesting.
I find it. Go ahead.
It's compelling from the NFL perspective.
I apologize for interrupting you, Corey, because I just looked this up about Percy Harvin and Russell Wilson's wife. So it was not Percy Harvin that was accused of that.
Who was it?
It was Golden Tate.
Golden Tate was sleeping with Russell Wilson's wife.
He said, quote,
that's why they traded him.
He said, quote,
actually, he was a free agent and he signed up.
I did not have an affair with Russell Wilson's wife, nor did I have anything to do with the divorce, said Tate, who played with Wilson in Seattle before moving on to Detroit. That is laughable for anyone that knows us. His ex-wife, Ashton, is still best friends with my girlfriend. Russell and I were good friends when I was in Seattle, on and off the field. He knows the rumors about me were unfounded, damaging to my reputation, and an attack on my character. Anyone who circulated that rumor was just plain irresponsible. So, yes, he slept with his wife.
and Corey Parson, irresponsible.
What did I do?
You started the rumor again.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I said it was all Percy Harvin. I knew it was somebody. I knew somebody in that locker room was banging Russell Wilson for his wife.
You also mentioned Percy Harvin getting in a fight with Golden Tate before the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Golden Tate also commented on that. He said, quote, set the record straight. I was not punched by Percy during Super Bowl week. It was last year at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last year. Nor did I have a black eye, as was speculated on by various internet reports. I even saw a photo of my face that was photoshopped with a mark on it. Percy and I did have a confrontation, yes, but no punches were thrown. And it certainly never rose to that level. that was erroneously reported by certain outlets. I highly respect his level of play. He's one of the best in the game. So basically, yes, he got punched in the face by Percy Harvin.
Yeah, Doug Percy Baldwin Hollins had a run-in with him, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, the University of Florida, he had all sorts of issues. Like, this guy's a crazy man.
Was he friends with Aaron Hernandez in college?
Yeah, I'm about to say him and Aaron Hernandez. Yeah,
they were there at the same time. Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They stole some things.
Hernandez did more than that.
He did. Some of the Pouncey brothers. Those guys are bad news, too.
Oh, I thought the Pouncey's was all right.
Oh, no, they're best. They were free Hernandez shorts all the time.
Oh. Yeah, can you imagine Tim Tebow stuck with all these guys?
Yeah, I know.
Prison football team, Cecil Collins and Aaron Hernandez.
Wow.
Come on. What do you think, Scott? And I ask you this as a Doug Baldwin owner. Yeah. What can I expect from Doug Baldwin tonight?
I don't think I expect. It's Monday Night Football, and Baldwin kind of gets up for these performances.
Right.
Baldwin's.
So why does he. This? I hate when people say that. It really bothers the shit out of me.
Anyway,
why does he not get up for Sunday? No. Don't poo-poo me. Why does he not get up for game Sunday at? Why does he not get up? You talk in narratives. Use some statistical information.
I use a lot of statistical information.
You don't
listen
you
to
didn't
the,
use
listen
any
to the last
there.
Segment.
No, you didn't use any of that. What has he done on Monday night that makes him a better player on Monday night than Sundays?
I just think Doug Baldwin's a big game player in Monday night football.
Well, the thing about it is,
you disagree with me. That's cool.
Have some information. Bring the listener some information. Just don't make stuff up on the fly.
I'm trying to talk about intangibles. If you don't want to, go ahead.
Okay, well, hold on 1 second. If I'm not mistaken, I think in his last, I think Doug Baldwin, I'm not. Not on his stat, Florio stat, fact check me on this, Florida, Florio. I think in his last 8 home games, he has 5 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So Baldwin plays better at home. So that's why I'm optimistic on Baldwin tonight.
See, that's why Corey's on the show. He brings some statistical information.
I never bring any statistical information.
I'm just saying you threw out the Monday night thing. I have a hard time believing a guy gets up for a Monday night game and he doesn't
I think football's a game of emotion. Adrenaline's going to be
flowing. Let me ask a question. Will he get up for the Sunday night game against New England next week? Or is it only Mondays he gets up for?
This is Monday night football, home game in Seattle at the C-Link. I think there's going to be a lot of intangible momentum going their way. You don't want to buy into it, that's fine. I'm still throwing it out there.
Will he get up on Sunday night next week against New England?
Look, I'm saying football's a game of emotion. I'm not saying Doug Baldwin doesn't always give 100%, but I think
I
think adrenaline drives performance sometimes. I think they want to get. I think I also, from a strategic type of look at this, I think that Baldwin hasn't been involved enough, and they want to get him back involved more in the flow of the passing game.
Well, see, that's more than a guy gets up on Monday night.
But, you know,
he plays better in the dark.
If you let me finish my statement, I would have got to it.
He said on Monday nights, right before kickoff, he meet up with Russell Wilson's new wife, and then this way he's...
That's good stuff.
There you go.
That's good stuff.
Fact check, Florio.
Yeah, so at home this year, Baldwin has 21 receptions, 287 yards, and 2 touchdowns compared to just 17 receptions, 194 yards, and no touchdowns on the road.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I think Russell Wilson hasn't thrown a touchdown pass in 3 weeks.
So
yeah, I know.
Are you saying he's due or he's not going to do well tonight then?
I'm saying I think he throws a touchdown pass or two tonight, though.
So you think he does throw a touchdown at you? Okay.
It's interesting what Dr. A was saying yesterday about the brace coming off the knee. It's going to be very interesting to see how that works out. But I think Seattle's just going to dominate time of possession and get good field position.
Well, how are they going to dominate time of possession? They got to be running the football against the Buffalo Bills.
Because the Buffalo Bills are going to be 3 and out constantly.
Hmm. Is Cam Chancellor playing tonight?
No.
So I don't know if they'll be throwing out constantly. And Seattle defense very desperate without Cam Chancellor, without Michael Bennett tonight.
They're not as good, but you're talking about not as good against the Atlanta Falcons a few weeks ago. This is, you know, Marquise Goodwin and Justin Hunter. Come on.
All I'm saying is that no Cam Chancellor, no Michael Bennett tonight. The Seattle Seahawks and the offensive line stinks. We know that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see how this game is. Maybe it won't be so far.
I think it'll be a low scoring game.
You do think it'll be a low scoring game? Okay.
You know, I think it'll be interesting to see what Buffalo does offensively. I think they'll try to roll the pocket, create some misdirection,
right,
et cetera. But I just, you know, if they score more than one touchdown, I'm going to be surprised, to be honest with you.
So so what do you think the final score is then?
I think it's probably going to be like 20-13.
So, okay. So yeah. 20 to 13.
Two Seattle touchdowns, two field goals.
Right.
One Buffalo touchdown and two field goals for them.
How do you feel about Jimmy Graham tonight?
I think Wilson, whether he's mobile or not, knows how to get the ball to him.
Okay.
He's gained more trust in him, so I'm good with Graham tonight. Outside of Graham and Baldwin, you know, Baldwin's great. I think Graham will have maybe a very good game. I think Baldwin will have an okay game, and I think Michael's rushing yardage is not going to be in there, but he might get in the end zone.
Now,
hey,
yes, Tony.
I got the actual numbers on Doug Baldwin tonight. Games.
Okay.
17 games, which consist of a season. He has 7 touchdown catches. They've won 13 games that he played in, and he has 893 yards. So that number is actually probably lower than Doug Baldwin, because he's had at least the last couple seasons of Doug Baldwin. That's throughout his career in night games, 17 games, 8 touchdowns, 893 yards receiving.
Yeah.
Well, is that good or bad, Tony, for Doug?
Well, I'm looking at it. If you look at Doug Baldwin the last 2 years, he's a double-digit touchdown guy, right?
Right.
He's probably a 1,000-yard receiver. But Doug Baldwin, to be fair,
last season, though, really?
Well, he was good.
He put up those numbers. Ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can look at it like that. But Scott, I'm there. I'm there helping you out. I get the actual numbers. You know, it just took a little looking it up.
Yeah. Well, this was the beauty of the show, though.
Well, you say something, Tony, back it up for you.
We can yell and scream at each other, but in the end, you know, we might we'll come around. You know, it's nothing.
Well, he comes around because Tony looks at the stats, and you just sat here.
I got stats right on my screen.
He does. He does.
Let the Bob be accurate.
But none of these statistics have anything to do with Doug Baldwin.
Because I wasn't talking statistically with Doug Baldwin, but it's nice that
what Scott is saying is that Doug Baldwin is the type of player that shows up in big games.
Yeah.
And that's the
I know what he's saying.
But I don't think this is a big game, though.
Greg never grasped that concept.
I don't think this is a big game. This is a home game against
Buffalo Bills.
Against Buffalo Bills, playing in the AFC.
I think they consider it a big game because they're coming off of a loss and a tie, and they need to reestablish themselves in the NFC.
Hmm. Now, question. That Arizona tie, was that in primetime? Did Doug Baldwin have a good...
Yes.
No, he didn't.
Okay. Yes, that game was in prime time. No. He has one tie.
Thank you.
He's 13-3-1.
Okay.
So that was the one tie.
All right.
I think there's a home game at home on Monday Night Football. It's going to be very charged there.
Hey, like I said, I'm rooting for Doug Baldwin in a major, major way tonight, guys. I made a poor lineup decision, as I mentioned, with Dontrell Inman yesterday versus Jerick McKinnon. So I need a big game now. I would have just needed, like, 5 points from Baldwin, and I would have felt amazing going tonight. Now I need.
I know how 15. We started out the narrative about the whole Monday night thing. The biggest thing I think, though, is they feel they need to get Baldwin involved back in the flow of the offense in a major way.
I agree with you, and I think you're right about that. In all honesty, we talked a lot about LeSean McCoy. Excuse me, I'm tripping over my words. But what about Kristen Michael here going forward? Thomas Rawls is coming back one day, maybe.
They said he might be back in week 11.
2 weeks, right? Yeah.
11.
Well, so I believe that when I see it. They've said that. They've said all along.
Yes.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
What do you think?
They also said Tyler Lockett looking healthy. I'll be very interested to watch that tonight.
He told me 4 weeks ago Tyler Lockett was fully healthy. Coming out of the bye, Tyler Lockett was back to full health. They were going to get him the ball. I don't believe that BS for a minute.
I want to see if we see it tonight.
Tyler Lockett.
Yeah. I need 20 points between Doug Baldwin and LeSean McCoy tonight, so I'm definitely hoping for a nice game from Baldwin. But as far as Tyler Lockett goes, waiver wire.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And I picked him in a lot. I definitely made a mistake. The Buffalo Bills' numbers are distorted against the run because of 235 yards rushing by Jay Ajayi and the 2 touchdowns in that game. They've only allowed 2 100 rushing yards against Matt Forte and Jay Ajayi. They've let up 3 touchdowns in the last 2 games, running the ball, 9 on the season, 3 by Matt Forte in week 2 and 2 by Jay Ajayi. So a couple of bad games have really put them in the middle of the running rankings. They seem to be better than that.
Yeah, they do. They have a terrific defensive front. And that's why this could easily turn out to be like Seattle and Miami was in the first week, where it's like a 14-10 type of game.
It could turn out to that. As you said, you're expecting a
defensive line versus offensive line. Buffalo has a major advantage.
We'll see what happens, obviously, when the game begins. We'll see.
This is why
they might have an advantage at quarterback, too.
This is why ProSize is nifty to me, because if Buffalo is going to get all that pressure, You know, Broussard is the type of guy where if he wants to use him as a safety valve, I look for quick hitting passes and see what they can do after the catch. That I believe that suits Baldwin and Broussard.
Your team is playing Florio's team tonight.
Yeah,
how you feel about that?
Do we have a bet in our hands?
Yeah, what we got?
A little bet.
I don't want to take anything from.
How about if Seattle wins, nothing changes. But if Buffalo wins, because people big upset, right? Seattle expects to win this game.
Yeah.
Buffalo wins, you have to stop rolling your microphone cord for an entire week.
Okay.
How about that?
There you go.
That's pretty good.
There you go.
That's a pretty good bet.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see what happens. Hey,
Ian would be flipping out.
He would be flipping out. Yeah, Mike actually flips out, like, but he's trying to be nice.
He's been doing it for 5 years, so I'm cool with it by now.
Corey's not anal like Ian.
When we come back, we look at the NBA from last night, and we look at the NBA tonight from a FanDuel perspective, because I'm trying to win some cash. We'll talk NBA next here on the Roto Experts. It is the final 20 minutes or so here of the Roto Experts in the Morning. Greg Sussman, Scott Angle, Corey Parson, and Tony Sincotta with you. It is time to talk a little NBA DFS. For more football talk, listen to the Fantasy Best Friends Forever. And, of course, Fantasy Sports Radio Network all day long. Roto Experts will be back tomorrow morning going over Monday Night Football and your waiver wire. But we wrap up the show talking a little NBA, and we start with last night. Because, Tony, I have a question. I've been reading up on this. Because one of my go-to guys in DFS, I actually have this guy on quite a few of my seasonal teams, is Joseph Nurkic. And Nurkic got off to a good start in the first quarter last night, and I was feeling good about him. And I see they win 123-107 in Boston, and I'm feeling good. And he had 13 minutes of play, 4 points, 6 rebounds. What the hell happened to Joe Nurkic last night?
Yeah, this is one of those things that they went small and they played up and down with the Boston Celtics. You saw Jermaine Nelson get 35 minutes, Wilson Chandler get 30 for 25 minutes. This is a game they just went small and they took him out of this game. I don't think this will happen. I think this is an abomination. You're not going to see this happen. I mean, Emmanuel Moundé, 30 points?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 8 rebounds? Are you kidding me? Frank Stanfield offered me him in a trade, and then they saw the box score, and he took the trade off the table.
It's not very nice.
It's a kind of crazy thing, but that's what happened in this game. It was just one of those matchups that you're not going to see. That Jokic only played 22 minutes as well.
Yeah.
The big men did not play in this contest.
They went small. Gary Harris returned to the starting lineup. Wilson Chandler, though, who's been really, really good for DFS purposes and season long, he's been getting the minutes. He hurt himself. I guess we always knew another injury is coming for Wilson Chandler. Disappointing to see that. Gallinari only had 16-3. For Denver. Over to Boston here. Amir Johnson only had 16 minutes of action. Still no Al Horford. I had Amir Johnson last night. Brad Stevens was pissed off with his starters. Only stuck with Isaiah Thomas and Archie Bradley, both of which did not let you down. And Marcus Smart started the second half, played 27 minutes of action. Tony, I know you have been on Marcus Smart 13-5 last night.
Yeah, he's a guy that fills all the categories, and you don't get, if you're in field goal percentage leagues for season long, he could be rough on there, and he could actually hurt you. But in daily fantasy, absolutely put him in play. Avery Bradley, I think, is one of the most underrated players.
I agree.
In all of fantasy basketball. He gets every single category, 11 rebounds, 6 assists, 14 points. He's a guy that had no steals last night, but can get steals as well. He's a guy that two-guard is not deep by any stretch of the imagination in daily fantasy basketball. Bradley's a guy that's right around the $5,000 range, $6,000 range. He could play on most nights.
And another injury note, Al Horford is supposed to return from his concussion on Wednesday.
And that should do it for Amir Johnson's fantasy value, and Tyler Zeller's actually for now. For Milwaukee and Dallas, the Mavericks pick up their first win against Milwaukee. The Bucks are coming on a second game of a back-to-back. And how good, gentlemen, has Harrison Barnes been for this team? I know Dallas is 1-5, but Barnes played 48 minutes last night. Put up 34-8. He had a brutal preseason, Tony, dropping his value in drafts. But Harrison Barnes has been tremendous.
Yeah, he has been. And he was pretty good last year, and you saw him get lost in that team. But imagine the guy playing 48 minutes. Did the coach not pay attention to, like, the numbers? Did he know that he was out there that whole game?
I don't know. I can't be positive.
But J.J. Barrera had 46 minutes. Wes Matthews had 44. Like, was this a must win at game six of the season because they were 0-5? Mark Cuban's lost his mind. He actually banned two ESPN reporters from press credentials there because ESPN refused to cover them, have a team assigned a reporter to their team, and they actually banned ESPN from press credentials there. They're losing their mind in Dallas.
And you mentioned J.J. Barrera. Darren Williams missed another game, and we don't know when he's coming back as he tries to battle through the left calf and the groin.
Both Darren Williams, Devin Harris being out. J.J. Barrera has been very, very good. Rick Carlisle trusts him. And as Tony was just saying, 46 minutes of action here for J.J. Barrera. So as long as he's getting those minutes, you're going to have to look for him both seasonal and DFS.
Yeah. Anytime Deron Williams is out, you can go ahead and put him in there.
Yeah.
And it's tough being Deron Williams and being an overweight point guard in the NFL, in the NBA. It just doesn't work.
No, it does not work. Wes Matthews saw 44 minutes. He just stunk. For Milwaukee, disappointing game for Antetokounmpo, who's in foul trouble all game long. 11-7. He had 3 steals, 2 assists, 5 turnovers, though, which is unfortunate. So if you played him yesterday, you got hurt, but it's hard to ever bench him. Jabari Parker had 16-7. He was also in foul trouble. So difficult day from Milwaukee Bucks.
One more injury note, though, back on the Dallas side. Dirk Nowitzki missed another game, expected to miss at least the next two. For those of you playing weekly fantasy basketball, the Fantasy Basketball Weekly Planner on Roto Experts with Dan Dobish today, he'll mention that he probably won't be evaluated till next weekend.
Yeah, he has an Achilles injury. He's battled him all year long. They're shutting him down for a little while to get healthy. Late last night, Phoenix and L.A. This is the one that put me in the money last night, gentlemen, because I had Devin Booker in my lineup, and Devin Booker has just been outstanding. Back-to-back nights of a career high in scoring, 39 points for Devin Booker in 45 minutes of action, and unlike the other game, this didn't go in overtime. So 45 of 48 minutes for Devin Booker, 39 points, 7 assists, 3 rebounds. He has relegated Brandon Knight to a bench role where he doesn't do anything. Booker is the leading scorer on this team. Basically, Tony, every single night I'm putting Devin Booker into my lineups and I'm putting TJ Warren into my lineups. Warren, 39 minutes of action, 22 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. TJ Warren and Devin Booker, guys you put in the lineup and you forget about.
Unfortunately, that's not going to last forever because these guys' price is escalating.
Correct.
And deservedly so.
Yeah, of course.
Definitely. Booker's a guy at the shooting guard position. Again, not deep, so anytime you could get him, he's absolutely viable in this offense. They get in run-and-gun games, and what a job Luke Walton's done with this Los Angeles Lakers. A dismal franchise, and they're actually, you know what, so far so good with this team. From a fantasy perspective, though, I don't know what to make of Nick Young. I can't believe that he's putting up a couple good games in a row here. 22 points, 7 rebounds. This is not a guy that I would pick up in a season-long league unless it was a deep league, and it's not a guy that I would play in DFS. But I'm watching now. I'm like, what the heck's going on here?
And that's how I feel about all these guards in L.A. You can't figure it out, whether it's Nick Young, Jordan Clarkson, Lou Williams, and seasonal. Like, I went to go pick up Lou Williams this morning. Like, am I really going to pick up Lou Williams right now? And I didn't pull the trigger. I don't know what to make of it. And, Scott, you asked us something last week about starting Tyson Chandler here for cheap. And Tyson Chandler, he had 2 games last week with 18 rebounds. Last night, he only had 9 points, but he put up 12 rebounds. He had 3 steals. Tyson Chandler is very, very cheap across DFS sites, and he
usually,
and he's a viable play, I think, in the right matchup.
Yeah, I think I mentioned him to you guys twice last week.
Yeah.
Look, you're not going to get any points, but the rebounds are definitely there, and you know, once in a while, you know, he's going to pick up some blocks for you too.
And the other
problem is though, you can only use him in a cash game situation because. Yeah. When we get in these bigger tournaments, you got to get a guy that has the ability to get 35, 40 points, and he's just never going to do it. He can consistently get 20s, 30s. That's fine. I think he's a seasonal play, though. He's under the radar.
You can go definitely. Ahead and grab him. And another injury note, Larry Nance missing the game. Well, he got in the concussion protocol. Guys, Julius Randle, Tariq Black, how much do you think they benefit from it?
Well, it's interesting because in my cash game last night, Tony, people, like 30% of the pool had Larry Nance. And I was like, did I miss something here, Larry Nance? Like, why is he starting? He played last night.
He was ruled out.
No. He played last night. He left the game with a concussion.
I'm sorry. He's been ruled out for Tuesday.
Correct.
I'm sorry.
He left the game yesterday with a concussion.
That's what I'm asking you guys. He's ruled out for Tuesday. What do you think about for the week going ahead?
With you. Tony, I was shocked that people had Larry Nance in their lineups last night. I didn't know what I was missing. When he got ruled out, I was pumped because I had owned Julius Randle. I mean, Randle's another guy that you're kind of throwing in your lineups, and he's been very good recently.
I don't usually play on Sundays, so I wasn't aware of what was that. But Mozgov, right, he could only play. Nance goes in your lineup only if Mozgov's out, and he played 22 minutes last night. So I don't know what people were thinking either using Larry Nance, unless there just wasn't enough cheap players there last night. I don't understand the reasoning of playing him.
Fair enough. All right, there's only one more game in the late slate yesterday. That was Sacramento and Toronto. Sacramento improves to 3-5. They beat the Raptors in this one. DeMar DeRozan playing a lot of minutes, as is Kyle Lowry. DeRozan, I believe this was his first game under 30 points this year. Kyle Lowry, he has a very good game, 15-10, 4 rebounds, 2 steals, and a block. So he was good here in this one. For Sacramento, very good game for DeMarcus Cousins, who had 22-14 to go along with 3 blocks and 4 assists.
And Jonas Valanciunas' left knee contusion was scratched Sunday versus the King. He is questionable for Wednesday's game against Oklahoma City.
DeRon DeRozan was so scoring dependent in the past, but he's getting 4 rebounds in this one, 3 assists. He's starting to put up other categories where he's a guy that I used to not like playing a 2-guard, but this year he's been great so far.
He's been excellent thus far. He was also someone that I didn't want at the 2-guard because he only scored. Now he's doing a little bit of everything. And the other side of this, for Sacramento, Ty Lawson's last game as a starter put up 11 assists, but in seasonal leagues, he's now droppable with Darren Collison returning this week. Rudy Gay played through an injury here, comes back, plays 35 minutes, puts up 23-5. And Gay, we talked about him last week, guys. Rudy Gay has been tremendous thus far for Sacramento.
Go ahead, Tony.
Yeah, the one thing, Matt Barnes, the coach came out and said they've been playing him too much, and he gets 30 minutes of play here. They were worried about him. He's dealing with actually a rib issue, and he had 8 points, 10 rebounds, an assist, and a steal. That concerns me, and that made me lay off him in games this week, Matt Barnes. I was looking for him not to play much. We saw Omar Caspi get a start when Rudy Gay was out, and then he goes back to 10 minutes.
And Darren Collison returns from his suspension on Tuesday, fellas.
So, exactly. Yeah. His first, he will get the opportunity in his first start, first game back, he'll start. That's why I said Ty Lawson is somebody that you can definitely get rid of in your season of leagues, and probably you don't want to start him in DFS going forward either. All right, let's look at DFS tonight. My computer is doing weird things, and I don't like it right now. It just doesn't look good. But I will restart my computer in a moment after this show. But FanDuel tonight here, Tony, you talked... You gave us a little tease earlier on that all these games has low totals, and the one game that has a high total, the spread is quite large. So, to me, my early reaction was to get in on Houston and Washington. James Harden was a star I wanted to play, and I love playing guys against the Rockets. That's what led me to kind of stacking my... As of now, I have James Harden in there. I have... John Wall in there against Houston. He had a game off, so I think he'll be fresh. And I have Markieff Morris in there. Power forwards against Houston have been pretty good. Markieff Morris playing with the first and second unit. So those are the guys that I've went with thus far in my lineup.
I think you start out your roster today with Markieff Morris. I think he's the best play value-wise in the NBA tonight. So I think you start out your roster there. I like your choice of point guards, but you're spending a lot of money there. So if you want to go a little cheap and use Harden with someone cheaper than Wall... I sort of like George Hill in that matchup against Rodriguez in Philadelphia.
That's a good one.
They can't defend anyone. His price is only $6,000 on FanDuel. On DraftKings, it's $6,500. They're 27th in the league against point guards. And to be honest, they were last year. So that could trend downward instead of getting better.
Do you like Sergio Rodriguez in a cash game, Tony?
No, basically Utah's the best team defensively in the NBA, and they play at a slow pace, and that's why I think George Hill might be under-owned tonight in this game against Philadelphia.
So over on FanDuel, Tony, James Harden still listed as a shooting guard despite playing point guard, which gives me the opportunity. I put in Tim Frazier yet again here. Frazier playing Golden State, obviously Stephen Curry, not a fantastic defender. He's cheaper than George Hill, which is the reason I have Frazier in my lineup right now.
Yeah, Frazier is now, this is a crazy thing. Frazier's 5,400 on FanDuel, and he's 6,600 on DraftKings. So there's a big difference there. I love him on FanDuel, and especially when he can move Harden over to the shooting guard. They're 24th in the league. The only problem is how long does he stay in the contest where they're a 17.5-point underdog. They don't have a lot of guard depth right now with that situation with Rue Holiday. So I think he gets at least 25 minutes. It's probably the least amount he's going to get, and he could get in 30 minutes. I would take the risk there, especially at $5,400. If you look at all the point guards in play tonight, the only guy cheaper is Sergio Rodriguez, and I like him considerably more.
Yep, absolutely. Me too. So Those are a couple games I'm looking at. The other one that I've seemingly put a lot of players into as of now, and he changes, like I said, is Miami and Oklahoma City. Now, I don't have enough to fit Russell Westbrook in. We've talked about Frazier. I mentioned I have John Wall for now. But in this OKC-Miami game, Deion Waiters is still getting a ton of minutes, even though Josh Richardson is back. He's still starting. Waiters is only $4,600. Josh Richardson's first game, he only saw 24 minutes, so I guess that could be a downward trend, and maybe I should take Deion Waiters out. But I like Hassan Whiteside. I like Hassan Whiteside tonight as well. What do you think of this OKC-Miami game?
I think that as far as the Oklahoma City guy, there's a couple of guys there that Steven Adams is a good player, Russell Westbrook if you want to pay for him. But Deion Waiters, I don't like him. Victor Oladipo is a pretty good player defensively there. So I'm not in love with him, but I can understand because the price tag still being undervalued on Deion Waiters at $4,600, why you would go there. If you wanted to go someone with a comparative salary and a little better offensive matchup, you know, you could take a shot on Etuan Moore in that game against Golden State at $4,100. If you can get the playing time and stay on the court in that game, it's a game with an elevated total, the biggest total of the night, 20 points bigger than anyone else. Etuan Moore is a guy that I think people will use tonight.
The thing about Etuan Moore, which is so awesome, Tony, I don't think anyone's talking about, he hasn't played less than 25 minutes in a single game all year long. He's only $4,400 on FanDuel. He only needs to get in between 20 and 25 to give you exactly what you're looking for. It's not too much to ask for.
No, and I think tonight I would probably take a risk with him, even though Deion Waiters is by far the better player. I just think the game situation is better for Etuan Moore.
Any interest in Justice Winslow for a cash game?
No. I don't want to get involved in that Miami game too much. Oklahoma City, as far as going there, Hassan Whiteside is good any night. Like, you know, you can throw him against any night. But other than that, they play at a slow pace, and this Oklahoma City team will elevate their pace for sure. So some of those guys you might feel are underpriced, but I'm just going to stay away. Even Oklahoma City, they've actually done the second best against centers and big men in basketball this week.
So I'll take out Hassan Whiteside then. And the other guy I was considering, which I'm going to put in now, is Rudy Gobert tonight against Philadelphia. Gobert against Philly just seems like a good matchup.
And, of course, Philly's dealing with that situation with Joel Embiid and Okafor limited on minutes there. And either one of them not great defensively. So I think it's a good opportunity there. They're the mid-pack. If you go back to last year, they were the worst. So I think it's good there. Another guy that's playing not that well as of late.
Yep.
Started out on fire. Miles Turner has a great matchup against Charlotte. Hasn't defended the big man well at 6,900. But his play has slipped as of late.
He does. And the one cheaper play that I haven't mentioned to you that I do want to bring up is actually also in that New Orleans Golden State game, Tony. Is Terrence Jones going to see another start? I mean, he won a lot of people some money.
Oh,
a couple
shit.
He won a lot of people a lot of money last couple games ago. 45 points in FanDuel. Is he going to get another start tonight?
But here's the problem. He sat out the whole overtime, and he sat out the last 4 minutes of the fourth quarter.
Yep.
So how the hell do you play? Like, yeah, he's a great player tonight. Like, I sat here this morning, and I've made a lineup, and I don't have a minute.
Right.
And if he puts up 40, I am going to jump through. I'm going to jump out the window because he should be on the court. Right. But what was Alvin Gentry? I don't know what he does as a coach. I have no idea. He should be out there. I picked him up in season-long leagues. I'm
putting
him in my
same.
Lineup.
Yeah.
But he's great. Yeah, he should be out there. But I don't have him in because I'm like, how does he not play the whole overtime?
Real fast, I know you love Otto Porter. What do you think of him tonight?
Yeah, I like him tonight. He's a good play, and up and down. This game suits him definitely tonight.
Alvin Gentry said, quote, I screwed up by taking Terrence Jones out of that game. Thanks, Alvin Gentry. Oh. The Fantasy Best Friends Forever up next for Scott Engel, Corey Parson, Tony Cicada. I'm Greg Sussman. We'll see you tomorrow morning.